you've ever been praying before. Amen. If your prayer life is flatlined, we want to resuscitate it. Amen. Amen. If we need you on a, if your prayer life is on a gurney, on a stretcher, amen. We want to put some paddles on it and wake you up by the word and by the Holy Spirit today. Amen. Praise God. And so our series, we're calling it, it just as a theme, In Jesus' Name We Pray. So I want you to really ascertain and comprehend and kind of measure yourself. What's my prayer life like? What are my conversations with God like? And I want to I want you to personalize it to your everyday prayer life. Your everyday prayer life. Praise God. Prayer is so important today. He's called many of us to be prayers and prayer warriors, as people would categorize or use that phrase. How are you doing? So we'll start with some opening scripture here. In John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus is speaking in the New King James. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, first of all, praying is a Christian believer activity. Now, we know that there is a sinner's prayer or prayer for salvation. That's what it's commonly referring to. But really, prayer is for the believer. It is an exercise and a business deal that we always should embrace and enjoy. But he said this is a condition. If you abide in me, stay closely united to Jesus, and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Isn't that good? That's a good positive promise. Ephesians 6:18, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. The next three verses I'll read out of the New Living Translation. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray. Everybody say pray. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. What does that mean? What does all mean? All means what? So if it says all time, you should be praying all time. And on every occasion. You're out at dinner, you're perhaps taking in a movie, a decent movie, going to a decent movie, and then or you're at a football game. Amen. I used to pray in spirit all the time, watching both my sons play football, mainly for injury protection, because I've been out there on that field. I know how grown people running into each other is not necessarily a good feeling. Amen. So, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers. Look at someone around next to you and say, friend, neighbor, you should be persistent in your prayers. Yes. For all believers everywhere. Ephesians 4:6 in the New Living, Philippians 4:6 in the New Living Translation, it says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Stay alert and tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So some people worry about the holidays. Somebody worry about what's next year going to be like. Don't worry. Everybody say, don't worry. You're supposed to pray. And then our last kind of foundation table leg scripture is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. New Living Translation simply says, we all can read it. Ready? Read. Never stop praying. Let's read it again. Never stop praying. Now, what does that mean to you? Pretty simple, right? So then let's ask yourself, friends, how is your prayer life? And then let's ask, what is prayer? Because there's different understandings of it. But Noah Webster, the 1828 dictionary, defines prayer as, in a general sense, the act of asking for a favor, and particularly with earnestness. In worship, it is this solemn address to the supreme being, consisting of adoration or expression of our sense of God's glorious perfections, confession of sins, supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, and thanksgiving or an expression of gratitude to God for his mercies and benefits. I know it's a mouthful. If you see me afterwards, I can give you that definition. Okay. A prayer, however, may consist of a single petition, and it may be extemporaneous, written or printed. Prayer is the practice of supplication. John Wesley said this years ago, and we heard it when we were at Rhema. He said this wonderful statement that is so profound. It said, it goes like this. It seems God is limited by our prayer life. He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asked him. God is limited by our prayer life. He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. S.D. Gordon said this, the greatest thing anyone can do for God and man is pray. It's not the only thing, but it is the chief thing. The great people on the earth today are people who pray. Thank God for their talent and their abilities and their influence. People like LeBron James back in the day, Michael Jordan, people who are famous in the popular culture today, but that doesn't make them great because they're popular. The greatest people pray. The greatest people know how to pray. You know, he told the nation back in Chronicles, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and do what? Think? No. What does Scripture say, church? Pray. Not just humble themselves and think, humble themselves and worry. He said humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. The great people of the earth today pray. I don't mean people who talk about prayer, those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet those who can explain about prayer, but I mean those people who take time to pray. John Wesley said another statement, God does nothing but an answer to prayer. So the question in the beginning was, how is your prayer life? Dr. Alex Carrell, a medical doctor who won a Nobel Peace Prize in physiology, he said this, prayer is the most powerful form of energy one can generate. Prayer is the most powerful form of energy one can generate. The influence of prayer on a human mind and body, as is demonstrated in the secreting glands, its results can be measured in terms of increased buoyancy, greater intellectual vigor, moral stamina, and a deeper understanding of human relationships. Prayer is indispensable to the fullest development of personality. Only in prayer do we achieve the complete harmonious assembly of mind, body, and spirit, which gives the frail human reed its unshakable strength. What is prayer? Let me give you some statements to think and process for a minute. Prayer is man giving God the legal right and permission to interfere in earth's affairs. Prayer is man giving earthly license to influence earth. Prayer is man giving heaven earthly license to influence earth. Prayer is terrestrial license for celestial interference. Prayer is man exercising his legal authority on the earth to invoke heaven's influence on the planet. Prayer is proof that you trust God. You trust his plan for your prosperity. You trust his plan for your life and ministry. You trust his hand to provide, to protect, and to perform. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us, trust in the Lord. What? With all thine heart. and lean not to thine own understanding. Prayer is proof that you trust God. So in other words, when you're making big or little financial decisions, you don't exclude God, you include God. Don't exclude him, include him. Because he said, do what? Trust him with all your what? Your heart, your spirit. And don't lean to what you think you should do. That means you include the Lord. You don't exclude the Lord. When you're going down HEB or Walmart, you include the Lord. You don't exclude. When you're looking at buying a new vehicle, come on now, you walk on that car lot, you better include the Lord. Don't exclude the Lord, because you don't want to buy a lemon, right? You don't want to get taken for a ride, literally and figuratively. All right? He said, in all thy ways. How many ways? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. God, what do you think about this? What should I do in this situation? Conversations with God. The God of the universe, the God that created everything that we see, the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, our heavenly Father talking to him, saying, God, Father, what do you think about this? What do you want me to do about this? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall what? Direct your path. Amen. Isn't that good? Yes. Amen. Prayer is the expressions of man, is the expression of man's relationship with God and the participation in his purposes. Prayer is an expression of mankind's unity and relationship of love with God. An expression of mankind's affirmation of the of and participation in God's purposes on the earth. So prayer is simply having a conversations and communicating with God. And allowing these conversations with God to have a priority place and role in our daily life as a Christian believer. We can't afford, friends, to go days and weeks without talking to God, without our friends talking to God. What did God tell you this morning? Prayer is not just an activity, a ritual, or an obligation. It is communion and communication that touches the heart of God. Prayer is practicing the presence of God. Prayer is, therefore, it's not an option for mankind, but a necessity. If we don't pray, heaven can't interfere with your affairs here on earth. It is imperative that you take the responsibility for the earth and your sphere of influence, wherever it may be, across in your neighborhood, across your street, across the aisle, across the country. Across the globe, because that determines what happens here. We determine it by our prayer lives. Amen. You determine what happens in your family by your prayer life. Amen. Heaven needs you to give it license to impact you and your world here on earth. Amen. See, you can make a difference and change the world and change the course of history if you would just understand the purpose and power of prayer. How's your prayer life? Now, there's some things we need to understand real quick. First, we must realize that prayer doesn't just bring results. It is an indication that something is, if prayer doesn't bring results, it is an indication that something is wrong, because God instituted prayer. He made a way, even us as New Testament believers, even better by restoring our supernatural communication with God, that we can talk directly to God. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through a man. We don't have to go through anything or anybody. We can go directly to God in Jesus' name. Amen? And in 1 Timothy, we see 1 Timothy 2. I'll go there and read that for a minute. I'm going to read it out of the King James just for simplicity's sake. 1 Timothy 2. It says, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, everybody say first of all. Now there's four things he gives us first to do. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Just think of just the church did that. All this schism and divide in the country would probably subside. But let's keep going. I'm not going to get into politics. All right. For kings and for all those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Why does he want us to do this? So we can shut our mouth and talk right and act right and be peacemakers, peace seekers, and peace givers. Amen. A quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honor. For this is good, verse 3, and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What's his purpose? Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is, what truth is that? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles and of in faith and verity. I will, what's he want? What's God's will? That men pray where? Everywhere. That includes women, because you know that's gender neutral. Men and women pray everywhere, that you pray on location. You at the restaurant, you pray. You should be praying over your food. Amen? You go into Six Flags, you pray. You go into Walmart, you pray. You going to work, you pray. You coming home and getting in the traffic, you better pray. Okay, men pray, lifting up holy hands without what? Without being angry and doubting that God hears you. My son-in-law back there, he knows the L.A. traffic is brutal. And we talk about traffic here, but the L.A. traffic is like a prison cell. It can frustrate you. But, you know, him and my daughter, they should be praying in that L.A. traffic, right? I remember when I was in D.C., man, folks get violent. They pull out guns and start shooting in the air because they wanted to get around traffic. It was pretty violent there. He wants what? Men and women to pray where? Everywhere. Are you praying everywhere? Before you go into that meeting at work, pray. Before you accept a job, do what? Before you start up a business. A lot of people start up stuff up here. But he said, trust the Lord with all that what? And don't lean to what you think you know how to do. You lose your money and your life. Amen. So in this verse, these verses of Scripture, Paul outlined by the Holy Spirit several of God's purposes in prayer, in the prayer life of a believer and in the church. Number one, first, the order of prayers. He said, first of all, he said, supplications, intercessions, giving of thanks. Amen. Prayers and giving of thanks. Supplication means specific, exact. It means a petition. That's a legal document, because you are going where when you pray? He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. throne requires to and a government order. There's an order. God's the judge of all, so you go into his courtroom to submit a what? A petition to that government, the government of heaven. I need this petition granted. It's like a prayer request. A petition, an entreaty, and humble requests. We do that based upon the legality of God's word. You said it, God, and I am requesting it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And second, the plurality of prayers. We see we don't just do it once. There are certain prayers we should be doing frequently and often. One of the prayers we were taught that you should pray every day for yourself and your family is for wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Proverbs 4 tells us wisdom is the principal thing. It's not a principal or primary thing. It is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, Proverbs 4:7. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Amen? James 1:5 tells us if any man lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. Asking is prayer. You think you had wisdom because you had experience, and I've been in this career field for 10 years or 5 years or 6 months. I know what I'm doing. No, you need to ask wisdom for him from God every day, because the enemy is always trying to set you up and trap you and trick you and deceive you to thinking, I don't need God no more. So what do? You exclude God and you don't include him. You say, I know what I'm doing. I got this. God, I got this. What do? Get prideful. Get the big head. Think I know how to get this done. Y'all hear? Y'all going home already. I'm not going to be before you long, but this is so important. You need to get this. Amen? So everyone, this is my strong recommendation, my strong suggestion, that you all need to be asking for wisdom every day. The scriptures I usually read every day are as a quote, as confession. One of them is Psalms 23. And in Psalms 23:1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. And so I always turn around and say, I do not lack for ability. I do not lack for opportunity. I never lack for money. I do not lack for peace. I do not lack for strength. But then I ask for wisdom. Because what the wisdom I had yesterday, I may lack the need for today. Because I go to James 1:5. If any man lack, Father, you said in your word in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And so I'm asking you for an abundant supply of skillful and godly wisdom. Wisdom from above, wisdom that is pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. I'm asking for that wisdom, the wisdom that comes from heaven above, an abundant supply for what I need today, for instruction, for direction, for correction, and impartation. And your word says, dear Father, that you would give to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And so I believe that I receive an abundant supply of skillful and godly wisdom today. I have great direction and timing and perception of what I need to know at the right time, the right place, with the right people. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Because what did the Bible tell us? Hosea 4:6, we're destroyed for the lack of. See, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. I might think I know how to do it, but then I might have the wrong time. I might have the wrong method, the wrong means of getting it done. And so I mess things up. Amen. And people, and Isaiah 5:13 says, we've gone into captivity because what? We have no knowledge. That means ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance and victory are impossible roommates. That means I can't be stupid today. I can't be dumb today. I got to have wisdom that doesn't come from being in college for 12 years. I got to have wisdom from above that comes down from God himself. I'm in the school of the Holy Spirit. I'm in the school of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I can get divine genius and smart because the Holy Spirit will make you a genius. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so then the third thing with these prayers is that you got the people you pray for. He said, pray for all men and those in authority, all kings. Kings represent people in leadership. People struggle with the boss and struggle with a job. They're always complaining about people they work with because they don't pray for them. It's hard to talk about your boss and about your coworkers when you're praying for them. If you can't do that. You can't do that in the same breath. If you on your knees and you supplicating and interceding and standing in the gap and making up the hedge and you are calling on the name of Jesus on their behalf, come on now, you can't run your mouth about them. You can't run your mouth about President Trump if you praying for him. You can't talk about people in the church or the pastor if you're praying for them. Because you say, I got seeds of prayer in the ground. I got petitions in heaven, the courts of heaven, the courtroom of heaven. I've submitted a petition to be granted on your behalf. How am I going to talk about you now? Praise God. Second, God is faithful to answer prayer. Well, let's look at these scriptures here. Let's take a little trip through the scriptures. Y'all good? Yeah. Amen. So we're going to take communion today over our own prayer life. We're going to reconsecrate our prayer life at the communion table. All right? John 5:14. John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will. Now his word and his will are synonymous. He hears us. Not every prayer prayed is qualified to be heard. Not every prayer prayed is qualified to be heard. Because there's thousands of people praying all over this earth. Millions. But God will, like Smith Wigglesworth said, God will pass over every one of those prayers that prayed in unbelief and not according to his will, and he'll land on the one who's praying in faith in his word. Faith in what he has said. Faith in what he has promised. Are you listening to me? He said, if we ask anything according to his will, in other words, his will, his word, what God wants for your life, you're not asking stuff out of bounds or just for your own personal selfish gain. He said, ask him. He hears us. And so, and he said, and we know that if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions, there's that petition word again, that we have asked of him. Every prayer that's heard, friends, is qualified for an answer. God, through Jesus, has guaranteed answers to the prayers that are prayed in his name according to his will. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Matthew. Matthew 7. Verse 7, Jesus is talking here. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone, everybody say everyone. Everyone. Who asks does what? Receive. And he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who his son asks for bread, and will he give him a stone? In other words, you ask for something good and you get something bad. None of us do it as natural parents, right? Verse 10, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him for a serpent? Again, something good asked for, something bad given. None of us do that. If then, being evil or natural parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, if we know how to be good to our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, how much more will your heavenly Father, your Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who do what? Ask him. Amen. Therefore, whatever you want men to do for you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So, in other words, God is not going to give you something contrary to what you ask. Amen. Now, Matthew says to us in this account as well, Matthew 21, in this prayer, faithfulness of God, Matthew 21, 22, and whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So friends, I want you to start dusting off your prayer journal and get busy. You got a lot of stuff to pray for. Amen? If you got folks in your family who are not saved or not committed Christians, you should be praying. Amen. And asking, and God, from God, and he, you will be receiving. Now, one more, Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. See, the third point I want to make here that you need to understand is God's will and his word do work when they're understood and put into practice. In other words, as Brother Hagin used to always tell us, Dad Hagin used to always say, find the scriptures that promise you what you need or desire. Now, you got three different levels. I'm using that spectrum. So some things you might need, you can find the scriptures that promise you that. Or some things you might want. That's the next level. Find it in the word. Then desire. Whatsoever things, he said in Mark 11, whatsoever things you desire. When you, what? Pray. Look at the math formula. Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So desire plus prayer plus believe that you receive them equals you shall have them. Amen. If you don't have any desires or specific, but you pray, you have nothing to believe when you pray. You just praying generally. You just throwing up air to the ceiling. What are you praying about? Now, Brother Hagin used to do that when he was pastoring his church. He'd tap him on the shoulder. What are you praying about? I'm just praying. If you don't ask nothing, you never get nothing. And most people sometimes be so aimless in their prayer life. They just praying. I'm praying for you. Well, stop and turn around and say, what you praying about? What you praying for me for what? What specific? What specifically? Everybody said, be specific. He's got the largest church in the world, I think by record, Dr. Paul David Young-Yi Cho in Seoul, South Korea. And when he was first starting out, he needed transportation. And so the means of transportation at that point, before people were getting cars, you know, by everybody, was a bicycle. And so he needed a bicycle. He's sleeping in a hut, sleeping in a tent as a house. I mean, sleeping on the dirt. And so he needed a bicycle. And that was big for him. He had to believe for a bicycle. And so he got, he asked God for a bike. And God came back at him. He said, what kind of bike? Now, I'm talking about him, but I'm talking to you. What kind of thing do you want? Be specific. Because the Lord said, there's all kinds of bikes. What you want me to get? You want 10 speed, no speed? 15 speed, 20 speed? What? I don't know what this kind of speeds are, but. And so, oh, I got to get, what brand? So he had to say, he changed his petition, prayer's miracle. I need a Swin. I need a 10 speed. I need this. And he needed the big mountain tires because had to drive off-road. So he had the big off-road tires on there, on the bike. Not the little racing tires with the little skinny thing that he slip and fall and crash on. He needed to go off-road, so he needed the heavy-duty tires. He needed the Swin. He needed the 10-speed. He needed to be able to do this and that. So see, he became specific. The bike showed up. Whatever you ask, we just read it in Matthew, in prayer, believing you shall receive. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, because some people desire stuff, but they never prayed. Believe that you receive them. Some people desired, prayed, but they didn't have the believing in the heart. He said, when you pray, you got to believe that you got it before you get it. That means you make preparation. We often said faith prepares, faith gets ready. So if you ask for a new car, are you preparing to get a new car? Faith prepares, faith gets ready. Everybody say it with me, desire. Desire. Plus prayer. Plus believe that you receive them, equals you shall have them. Now, you don't pray out of your head, you pray out of your heart. Faith works in the heart. That means you got to have the faith in your heart to believe it. That means faith takes. Grace is already made, but faith takes what grace is made. Grace makes, faith takes. When he promised you in that scripture this thing and it makes faith in your heart, you can believe it right then. I've got it. I've got the answer before I see it with my eyes or feel it with my hands. Amen. Amen. Somebody said glory to God. Because true faith will build intimacy with God, bring honor to his nature and character. God wants you to walk around like Brother Steve said this morning, as a living testimony, a testimonial of constant answers to your prayers. Because a lot of people praying, even at work, even in your sphere of influence, your environments, people are all praying, well, just I need to pray about it. God. You know, they talking to God, but they ain't talking to your Father. Because people pray to God, but few people pray to their Father. There's no relationship there. So you should have a chronology and a book that says, God did this, God answered this, God answers my prayers. When we pray, like he said to that lady at his workplace, he said, come here. He said, because when I pray, answers come. Things happen. Things happen when I pray. Come on now. Don't get me involved because things, heaven and earth gonna move. Hallelujah. I used to keep a semi record. But in the early days of the church here, and I'd say every new believer, we get an answer within 72 hours. Longest would be 7 days. How come all of us should have that record? That when you kneel down, sit down, or stand up and put in your petition before God in the name of Jesus, that thing should be on its way to you. And by the next Sunday, for example, today's Sunday, by the next Sunday, you've got the answer in the mail from heaven. You've got the answer manifesting in your life. Everybody said, in Jesus' name we pray. True prayer causes respect for God's integrity. It enables belief in his word. It causes a trust in his love, affirm his purposes and his will, appropriate his promises. One of the greatest paralyzing events that can occur in a believer's life is the paralyzing nature of unanswered prayer. And so people stop praying at all because they say, well, it didn't happen. We can shake that off and turn things around. Like I said, if your prayer life is flatlined, if it's on a gurney, you, by the grace of God, when we take the table of the Lord, you can resuscitate that and get back to praying again, praying heaven to earth again. Somebody say glory to God. So we must pray in a way that embodies the principles that God has given us in his word. And so the Holy Spirit is going to endeavor to teach us prayer. And most importantly, exercise, the most important exercise in the Christian experience. He wants us to believe, the Holy Spirit wants us to believe that the power is most powerful, prayer is the most powerful weapon, the most priceless treasure, the greatest ministry in heaven and earth, and best of all, prayer with all its potential is available to all of us. From morning till night, from hour by hour, minute by minute, the Christian's heart should be so close to the heart of God that he or she can learn the art of praying without ceasing. You can pray on location. You can be in that restaurant and lay hands on that person who's attending your table, that's waiting your table. Come on now. You can be praying for somebody that God says, go talk to them. Go give them a word from heaven, right out of heaven. Come on now. This is a church, a praying church. God called his house a house of prayer. Amen. Like an art, prayer needs preparation, practice for proper performance. So we're saying if you're on the snide, get off the snide. And get active with praying. Amen? And you can pray effectively without ceasing. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. James 4:8, that means you pull up real close to him. When you lay down on your pillow on the bed, God is closer to you than that pillow. When you wrap your fingers and hands around the steering wheel, God is closer than that steering wheel. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You want the fragrance from your life and your going around your daily affairs to be smelling like, I've been with God. I've been with Jesus. Woo, I've been in his presence. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And people say, what's the glow on you? What's that flow you got on you? And like Steve said, you know, we talk about that comment. You're not there to take sides. You're there to take over. People come to you. You become a magnet for the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. You let your light shine before men so they can see your good works and glorify God. Amen. Amen. You can imagine that the prayer in the book of Acts, and we're getting ready to close because we're going to pick up on part two after, next week. The prayer in the book of Acts where they said they prayed and the place was shaken. We're getting back to that. We're getting back to the place where prayer is so powerful. I mean, Brother Steve was leading prayer this morning. Others lead prayer. I know Sister Karen does at times, and I do, and Pastor, and others lead prayer. But we're getting ready to pray. We come in. You ain't got to warm up and crank up and get pumped up. This is your normal lifeline. You come in prayed up. You come in with coming out of the presence of God, and your personal prayer life is now connected with the corporate prayer life. And so we all, as praying people, come hook up together, and man, heaven just explodes in this place, and the place starts shaking. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me close with these points. God's will is your authority in prayer. All that God is, all that God has, may be received through prayer. What do you need? What do you want? What do you desire? Have you asked for it? Are you trusting God for it? Remember, he told us, don't worry about anything. So our worry circle should be nothing in it. My kid's fever, my kid's allergy, my grandkid's well-being, nothing. Nothing. My rent that's due, nothing. My tax payment, nothing. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Are you praying about everything? Do you have someone encouraging you and say, come on, come on, brother, come on, sister, let's pray about that. You start to complain, but because remember, doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. And so we would never have to notify our faith because there's joy in answered prayer. And joy in answered prayer, because Jesus said in John 16, 23 through 24, I'm just going to quote, read that scripture. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. That means some people pray to Jesus and you won't get results by praying to Jesus. You can adore Jesus. You can worship Jesus. You can exalt Jesus. You can praise Jesus, but you don't pray to Jesus. You pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. You shall ask me nothing. More surely I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Up till now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be what? So God wants you full of joy. And when you're full of joy, you can't help it. It's lit up all over you. He wants you full of joy. Can you be full of joy when your kids are sick? Can you be full of joy when you're experiencing extreme abject poverty and lack and insufficiency? He wants you full of joy. And people say, well, I want you to God. And there's many, many stories we can kind of tell about this. Praise God. It's hard to be full of joy when your kids are not serving the Lord, right? Or running around serving the devil. Amen. Now that 23rd verse of Mark 20:11, Brother Hagin was told by the Lord. He had been praying and fasting for his brother, older brother, considered the black sheep of the family, for 15 years. And he was drinking, bar hopping, you know, doing all kinds of bad things. But the devil was running in life. The devil dominates unbelievers. The devil dominates unbelievers. Amen. So he had to say in the name. But he had been praying and fasting and begging God to save him. And God had to finally tell him. The Holy Spirit said, I've done everything I've done to save him. You're asking amiss. There is an asking amiss, but there's also the asking aright. He said, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume. So he wanted him saved, but he's asking God, save him, save him, save him, save him, please, Lord, save him. I'm pushing food down, pushing meals, turning plates over, praying, begging God to save him. But he said, I've done everything I can do to save him 2,000 years ago at the cross of Jesus Christ. He said, the God of this world, the devil has him bound up and blind. And so he understood the power in the name of Jesus. And so he got a revelation that in Jesus' name, I can break the power over my brother's life. And that's what we want people in this assembly to do, to rise up in the authority of Jesus and release that authority in Jesus' name and break the power of the devil over your finances. Break the power of the devil over your marriage and family. Break the power of the enemy over unsaved people in your family and claim their salvation and deliverance. Don't talk about them. Talk to the devil that's got them. So he rose up off the floor and rose up and spoke, in the name of Jesus, Satan, that's bound, you know, hindering and harassing the life of my brother, I break your power over his life. And I claim his salvation and deliverance in Jesus' name. 10 days later, he came to the Lord, got the report, but he wrote it down. It's done. When you ask the Father in his name, he said, he didn't say, I might do it. He said, it will be done. It's not done because you prayed so eloquently. You said the right vowels and, you know, used the right phonics and the right, you know, tone. No, he did it because of the name. It guaranteed an answer. According to God's word, you ask, it will be done. And he wants everybody safe. Amen. Glory to God. Now, one of the problems, why don't you stand with me as I conclude in this statement. One of the problems is this, and I want you to make a mental note or write it down or go back and listen to the recording. This is a big rub. And we'll kind of expound on it a little bit more later. You and I can't afford to solve our spiritual problems with our minds. We got to stop doing that. You've heard me say it. I heard other men and women, trusted men of God say it. Men and women of God say it. 99.9% of all of our issues is spiritual. That's why there's an importance to pray. Because we don't know. And the Holy Spirit even comes on the scene in Romans 8:6. We don't even know how to pray for it as a thing as we ought. Sometimes we're attacking it this way and we should be going at it this way. We don't see everything spiritual. That's why we need God and we need the Holy Spirit to help guide us in our praying. And the problem becomes when we try to solve things that have a spiritual root cause with our minds. I know what's wrong. I know what's going on with my brother, my sister, why they acting up, why they on drugs. You don't know. You don't know why they on drugs. You don't know why they ran off the reservation and run off the rails. You don't know, but the Holy Spirit knows. God knows. Amen. And with your authority in the name of Jesus, you can do something about it. Amen. Because see, then we try to figure it out and we worry ourselves. We get all confused. We get worried sick. And we wear frowns and the frustrations and feelings of discouragement and despair. I gave up on them. I gave up. You're not supposed to give up on your family. You're not supposed to give up on your loved ones. Amen. You're not supposed to do it. I know I'm being very demonstrative about that. But I'm trying to stir you up. You, friends, have the power in the name of Jesus. It's not your power and your muscles or your fist or your willpower or your logic. It is the power in the name. In the name. And you can see them come to the Lord one by one. Work on all your family members. Work on all your kids. Work on everybody. There's no time, no distance in the realm of the spirit. And get stirred up and say, I break the power of the devil as we learn together. And get more light together about praying. How many of you stirred up about praying? Come on now, praise God. Get back off the easy chair. Stop looking at Spectrum or Time Warner Cable or whatever you got. so much. Stop flipping through 250 channels or 300 channels or whatever. Hallelujah. Start getting on your face, seeking the Lord. Time is short, friends. People need to be saved and restored and healed and delivered from the power of the devil. Amen? Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We appreciate you today. We're so appreciative of the privilege of prayer, of the opportunity that you've given us this morning to stir ourselves up through your word and through your Holy Spirit, to pray according to your word from this time forward, to get stirred up about asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the things that are according to your will. And Father, we thank you for helping us by your Spirit and by your word to be accurate and engaged and effective in our prayer life on a regular basis every single day, trusting you all the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Now I want you to take your seat. Our great, wonderful...